God bless you, saints.
Amen.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord this morning in prayer? I'm going to ask if we can have Brother Dennis lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Let's pray. Dear Lord God, the Lord of our salvation, Lord, we come even this morning unto you, Lord. Lord, giving the glory and thanks unto you, Lord, for you've been with us every day, every hour, every moment. And Lord, it has been thy grace that we've been able to come this far. Lord, as we come before you, may you open our hearts, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, Father. And Lord, like the two on their way, Lord, to Emmaus say that the entire hearts burn as he spoke to us. Lord, as we live here, may we continue to say unto each other, even deep in our hearts, Lord, that the entire hearts burn as he spoke unto us, Lord Father. Amen. For Lord, we are seeking a city, Lord, whose maker and builder is you, Lord Father.
Yes.
Lord, may we focus our eyes on you, Lord. Lord, as we look on our sides, Lord, even behind us, Lord Father, we see the storms of the world, Lord, tossing us here and there, Lord Father. But Lord, like Peter, may we focus our eyes unto you.
Amen.
Lord of glory and the Lord of our salvation, Lord Father. Lord, we bring in unto you, Lord, even those who are on their way, Lord. May you fasten their footsteps, Lord, as they come down here. The preacher, Lord, we commend him unto your hands, Lord Father. Use him, Lord, as a vessel to speak unto us, Lord Father. We return all the glory and honor for in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if we can turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Good to see you, Sister Betty. Welcome back. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. And be reading, starting with verse 1, and we'll see how the Lord leads from there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Just pause there for a second. Blessed is he that readeth, hears, and keeps. Amen. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from God, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, as blessing to the reading of his word, please be seated. Amen. By God's grace, we're going to start on a series called The Character of Christ. The Character of Christ. And if it goes the way I think it's going to go, then it'll be very lengthy. So this could go over several Sundays because it's a very deep subject. And I'm a little bit late this morning because there's so much into it, and try to pack it in. kind of thing. And sometimes, I don't know, when you see things and you want the people to just get everything, right? And but you know, realistically, they can't, it's just not possible sometimes with the amount of time allotted. So now we're already at 30 minutes left, so I'm just going to continue on here. Now, I'm not sure how this is going to go because this is kind of very much a teaching series. And so when I say that, it may be kind of methodical, hopefully not dry, but it's going to go through several things because some things that we really need to get solid as a foundation so that we can understand other things. And so teaching can be, as Brother Branham says, it's like eating cornbread and beans. You know, it's good for you. It may not always be pleasant, but it's good for you, okay? So I'm trying to lay expectations here a little bit. It may be, and I feel that sometimes that there may be a question that needs to be asked, if you understand. I know that we don't usually do that in Sunday school, but if we're going through something and there's a question, if you raise a hand, just because it's important that we all understand as we're moving forward at each step, okay? Because, you know, as we move forward to step three and then step one, you're still hanging on, then, you know, it's not going to do any good to go to step three. You understand what I'm saying? So however you feel comfortable with that, if you write a question down or you raise your hand and we bring the mic and you can ask a question right there so everybody can benefit from the answer kind of thing, because the Word of God is such in a way sometimes it's, although the Lord makes it simple, it's very deep. And so we have to get all these little things straightened out because it can hinder us from understanding something a little bit further down if we're still hung up with something. So we all understand that. Amen. And so when we're talking about the character of Christ, we are all looking to see in the mirror, when we look in the mirror, that we see Christ. Amen. And that mirror is the Word of God. Amen. Not just the Word of God, it's the revealed Word of God, right? And so we are looking for what does the Lord say? First of all, what do I need to look like? And then second of all, how do I look like that? So everyone that's a child of God wants to be able to get closer to God. Brother Branham talks about that in The Stature of a Perfect Man. He says the main objective for a Christian is closer to God. Amen. Amen. Can we all agree with that? Amen. Okay. So in this time period that we're living in, we're coming to a culmination, if you will. It's when a lot of things just meet and come to a head, okay? So there's a lot of things that have been brewing over the years from this angle, this angle, this angle. But this is the age where everything comes together. And so this is not something that we believe that this is a good thing and things come together and this is the age when everybody receives a revelation and it's looking at a distance over there, but it needs to be right here, okay? And so it has to be a reality in our life. It has to be a part of us. And the victory that he's talking about, the overcoming power, is not to be watching Brother Branham or somebody else, but it's got to be us being that, having that overcoming power. And so we've got to, in our daily life, be able to overcome. And so God gives us instructions to be able to do that. And so we want to be able to open those things up by the help of the Lord. So why am I starting with Revelation chapter 1? Because this is the only book, and this is what Brother Branham says in the Revelation series in 1960. He says, this is the only book where Jesus Christ personally wrote this book. He gave it to his scribe, which was John, but it was all given from God directly to John to write here. And so he says that this was a revelation personally, or a book personally written by Jesus Christ. So it's not a revelation of John the Divine. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the devil wants us to be confused sometimes with the book of Revelations. He says it's too hard to understand. It's too mysterious. A lot of symbols in there. It's just, you know, stay away from, get with the other scriptures that are easier to understand, right? So he wants us to be confused about Revelation, kind of stay away from it. And he also wants us to stay away from Genesis. And, you know, he'll argue about the serpent seed. He'll argue about the original sin. He'll argue about all types of different things. Why? Because Genesis shows where everything came from, including Satan. So it shows where sin originated from. So he doesn't want you to know that, right? And so the devil wants us to be blind. And he gets very angry when he's exposed. Okay, Brother Branham talks about it. When the Spirit of God would come down and the Spirit of discernment would come, and that is the word, when it's about to identify or expose the devil, he says how the people's countenance would change, right? And he says that you should see the looks on their faces sometimes. And I can say that from the pulpit, when sometimes that things are being said from the pulpit and they're exposing some people's lives, you know, you see them on a daily basis with a certain expression, but when that thing comes, you see a different change in their face. That's why, you know, Brother Mike, he talks about how he wants to take off his glasses because there's a big change in this face and you don't see it. But we as ministers, we see that change occur because the devil's going to be exposed. Whether he's holding somebody down with fear or some type of complex, when that thing is going to be opened up and that person's going to be freed, he hates that, right? And so what he'll do is he'll try to grab other demons to get more power. And so he can fight that thing and resist it. You know, sometimes there's additional distraction or something will happen in the congregation to distract, you know, a crying baby or what have you that takes away from the attention, right? So the preacher can be distracted and so Satan can avoid being exposed. But, and you've seen that, spirits will gather together and people in the congregation, you know, there's influences with of spirits on people. There just is. And I'm not saying that anybody's condemned or anything, but sometimes people that are not healthy spiritually, they can have those spirits carrying on them. And then you notice that people with like spirits, they'll start to congregate together. They're building a power. They're building a unity, right? Because there's power in unity, even on the evil side. Okay, so we're going to go through this by God's grace and pray for me, bear with me, because it's a very involved subject, very deep. And that's what I'll say with this. So now we're going into some other scriptures. If you follow along with me in Revelations a little bit, because today I believe we're going to lay a foundation. Maybe I'll run into next Sunday as well, but we're trying to lay some foundational things so that when we get into the characteristics, that it will all dovetail and blend together. So, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, if you follow along with me, I'm just going to kind of read through and then see where the Lord kind of pushes as we go through these scriptures. So, first, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he was placed there. He was placed in exile. And sometimes we wonder why this is happening to us. You know, John could have thought, why am I put in prison? Why am I on the Isle of Patmos? You know, when Christ came down, I thought that his kingdom would come. And so why is this happening to me? But God has a purpose for all things. Even the bad, and you wonder why sometimes that you have gone through a bad situation, however bad or evil it is, if you're a child of God, it's there for a purpose. Amen. You know, sometimes we run into situations that maybe it's as a childhood or maybe as a teenager, however bad it may seem, but God may be using that experience, right? and God, and you will get free from that by the power of God. And then there is somebody going through that same thing, but you can give them hope. You can give them confidence because you've gone through that situation and God has freed you.
Amen.
Because somebody with that situation, they may feel hopeless because they don't know of other cases that have been through this, right? And so when somebody has actually been through it and they say, I have been through that and this is what the Lord did for me, this is what happened, etc., then that builds a confidence and a hope. It gives them something to hold on to, right? And so when we look at our situation and, you know, however bad it is, just go back to the scripture and hold on to the word of God that says it's all for a purpose, right? It's all for a greater good, right? And, you know, each one of us, and we'll get into it here in the message, is that each one of us has a ministry. Yes, if you're a sister, you have a ministry because every child of God, they must come to a manifestation of Christ of maturity. And when they come to that maturity, there is a ministry for you, brother or sister, to play on this earth to express Christ. Wherever you are in your particular situation, whether it's at work at Denny's or Safeway or at the Pentagon or what have you, you are the only one that will be there. Amen. In that walk of life. Amen. And you are the only one that's going to be able to express the very nature of Christ and be a living, walking word of God that they can read. They won't read the Bible, but they'll see us, Amen. Right? Amen. And so, but that is the revealed word of God. This is God in written form, but you walking in shoe leather, that is the revealed word of God. But you see, brothers and sisters, we have to come to that stage where God can use us in that way. Amen. So there is a process for us to come to where God is able to use us in that fashion. Just because we're born again does not mean that we're ready to go out there and be used of God in that way. We have to go through a process and steps. Now, let's go and continue on in the scripture. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and to Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So I'm not going to delve in deeply into the church ages, into the church age book, because I just feel that we may not have time for this. I just need to bring into you some high points. And then as I bring these high points, then it'll give an opportunity for you to listen to these messages and study them. And so as we go through these things, it'll help kind of give us a little vector, I guess, a little bit for us. And then when we go into the message and listen to those and study them, then they'll make more sense and they'll be put together a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? And so when we see, he's talking about, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. So there is no other. I am He, right? And so we know that God is one. Whether He was God in the Old Testament, God in the Gospels, God in the New Testament, God of today, He's the same God, right? Amen. The Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But He manifested Himself. He had a mask, and He hid Himself through this mask all through the ages, right? And so there is a reason why He hid Himself all through the ages. It's because He can't just show Him openly to everybody. He only comes to those who are looking for Him. Those who have a heart and a desire to know Him, right? And so that's why He hid Himself. But He was their God nonetheless, expressing Himself from the beginning all the way to the end.
Amen.
Now I'm going to mix this a little bit with some visuals to help solidify this. And I wouldn't say that I'm plagiarizing because, you know, whatever the ministry or the bride brings forth, that's for us to use. I don't think there's any copyright with it. So I'm saying I'm copying somebody's work here. There's a brother, and I think most of us have been through some of the lessons. I know in the Sunday school lessons, we went through the Godhead. And so you all saw that, and we saw the video and everything. So you got to see the progression of God unveiling himself through the ages. And so we did that recently at the Bible study with the young people so they could see that. And I don't have the motion because that's a little complicated. I have the poor man's version. It's just the slides, the screenshots a little bit. But I think you'll get the image and the picture. So I want, if you can bring that up, we're going to the second slide. And we can bring the lights down a little bit. So I'm going to go intermix. I'm going to go visual, and then I'm going to go to the scriptures and the message a little bit. Okay, so we need to understand who God is, right? Because that's why the devil put this Trinitarian doctrine into the people's minds. It's because he wanted to confuse the people of who God is. He said he wanted to say that God was in three distinct persons. We know that's false, right? But it's one God that manifests himself, shows himself in different offices, in different ways, in different masks, in different things. But the nature of God is one and the same. So now this is showing the eternal spirit. We know a spirit is invisible, right? And so, but in God, you know, as you look in Christ, the mystery of God revealed and all through the message of the hour in the scriptures that God had all these things inside of him, right? He had many different attributes or qualities that were in him, but there was no way at first for him to express it. It was just him by himself, right? Just him in his room by himself. I'm just trying to be simple with it. But he was him by himself as a spirit. So, you know, in him was to be trusted, a shepherd, a God, a father, creator. All these different attributes were in him, right? And so, but judge, redeemer, family, comforter. But he wanted to express this, right? And so that God, he began to get into expression. And so if we look at Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he talks about how God is wanted to express himself. He wanted to express himself. He expressed himself in the Old Testament through the prophets and different people. He expressed himself in Jesus Christ. He expressed himself through the church. Right. Next slide. So that invisible God, and we look in Colossians, it says the Son created all things, right? And so anything that was a son had a father, right? And so that invisible God created a theophany, a heavenly being, as we understand it, as a prophet brings it to us. And he began to create this. And you see the attributes of the rainbow, and we'll explain that a little bit later because, you know, God is in his characteristics. You see it in the rainbow in Genesis, and you see it all throughout different scriptures, and you also see it in nature. But so he began to create this theophany so that he can begin to, God can come into some type of form, not an invisible being. Next slide. And so then he created this theophany, which was the Son, which is also referred to as the Logos. So the Logos is the thought and mind of God, right? So when you look at that, it's also Christ. Everything that God was, he poured into Christ, the anointed one, the theophany. And those chromosomes are just kind of showing the attributes of God. Okay, next slide. And so again, emphasizing that, a theophany, a body for Jehovah, the anointing, the Son, and a prefigure. Because remember, he was a son, and it says in Colossians, he created the earth. But remember, Jesus, the man, did not come till about 4,000 years later. So there's a son that's a theophany. Just like you and I, we have a theophany. We have a heavenly being. The scripture says they're all angels. He's talking about the children of God. They're angels to always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. So we have a heavenly representation in heaven, right? And so this is that heavenly representation of God. Now, next slide. Okay, now I'm going to hold there. Let's turn back the lights. I wanted to lay that foundation so that we understand a little bit of the image of God. And so God began to express himself through the ages. And now when we see this, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. Then he talks about the church ages. Okay, so I see some people. If you're feeling tired, just wake yourself up, because I feel that all these things, it's important to know as we move on. So he says, he gives all the different church ages. And so when we look at the church ages, why is he talking about the church ages in association with the revelation of Jesus Christ? So let's read on. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And he goes forth and talking about the personage of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to summarize here. He's going through the candlesticks, he's going through the person of Christ, and he's going through the stars, right? And we all, I believe, we understand these things. But you see, as we're going through the candlesticks, and we take them through the Bible, and we take them through the message of the hour, there is an importance with these candlesticks. And I think you all remember a message that was preached about these things and how they relate. I'm going to try to tie them together, okay? Because I don't want you to learn these things in isolation. Now, we learn these things separately, so we understand them, but then God is trying to put them all together. Because Luther preached a message, justification by faith, and Wesley preached a message, sanctification, and different messengers preached a message, but there were things that were hanging left. So when Luther preached a message of justification, he still was baptized or sprinkling with baptism. He was still was doing a lot of things that were from old traditions and not scriptural. And so he left a lot of questions hanging. And so now we're trying to bring all these things together, and the loose ends are going to be tied up so that there's no question, and we see the very image of Christ. And so when we see Christ walking through the midst, he's in the midst of the candlesticks. The candlesticks represent the churches, the church ages. Now these church ages, they had a characteristic about them. Brother Branham said that those ages were picked because of the characteristic that you would see in the Gentile ages. There was more of them, more Gentile churches in that day than there were these seven, but these were the ones that represented certain characteristics. Okay. And then there were seven stars, and those were the messengers to the seven church ages. And so that messenger brought a message, and everyone that was a part or a predestinated seed in that age would come under that message and fall under that message, if you understand. And come under obedience to that message. So they would become one with the messenger, if you understand what I'm saying. And so because that messenger was Christ for that age, he was the representation of Christ, because in the right hand was the power of God. And so they represented the power of God in that age. And so they were the light, the shining light. Even though Luther only gave a portion of that light, for that time he was that shining light. And so for each messenger, each child of God needs to come under that in order for them to be a part of Christ, because they are a part of that actual message. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. I trust we're getting that. Now, I'm not going to hit the church ages yet, but there's certain characteristics throughout all the church ages and different things that he warns and he says that are good about the church ages. And so there's different characteristics in there that there's testing, there's trials, like in the second church age. He says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. They had to be ready to give their lives for this gospel, right? There was a test in the first church age about staying with the word. There was a Nicolaitan spirit that was going in there that was trying to take over and take them away from that word. But it was a spirit and it was hard to identify, right? There was a spirit in that age that was trying to get them to relax. Remember, they were on fire on the day of Pentecost. But as the church age wore on, then they began to be relaxed. And they began to leave their first love, as Brother Branham was saying and the scripture was saying. And so they began to relax, and they were still holding on to that word, but the fire within them was gone. And so that, you see, we're going to fight each of these different things. And you look at the end of the scripture, it always says, he that overcometh, right? And so there was the age, and there were the overcomers of that age that overcame that spirit. But you see, in the Laodicean age, all those spirits, and we'll get to that here, are combined together in our age. So the ones that were in the first church age, second, third, fourth, all those things are combined and coming into this age. Do you understand? And so we as believers are going to have to overcome every spirit that was in the church ages. Do you understand? Because this is the full manifestation of Christ coming into the full manifestation and to the perfection. You see, in Luther's day, they had a portion of it, but this is the day in the fullness of Christ. Amen. So this is the toughest age, but yet the Spirit of God is the most powerful in this age. This is the age that God comes into full manifestation. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to some of the message here to lay down some things. And I want these to just kind of settle in your mind a little bit because I just want you to keep it there. And then some, as we move on, I trust that the Lord will quicken these things and bring them together. Before that, I'm going to go to Revelations 10. And I'm going to summarize for the sake of time, summarize some things here. So you end the church ages, and then the Spirit of God calls John, who represents the bride. Do we understand that? Brother Branham said John in this scripture represents the bride. Amen. Because all these things are being shown to the bride, right? Amen. Now, if you notice, there's an angel speaking to John the whole time. If you looked at it in Revelation chapter 1, he signified by his angel, right? And that angel had characteristics. First of all, it knew everything that was happening in this book of Revelation. And also, he was a fellow brother. And also, he was a prophet. And so, you know, God doesn't always tell us everything openly, right? As Brother Branham was teaching us, we need to have the spirit of revelation to be able to open things to us and to be able to read between the lines. Amen. And so when the Spirit of God quickens it, then we catch it, what God is saying through those scriptures. He won't say it openly, because you even look at the message of the hour. Brother Branham does not say Luke 17:30 is him. He does not say that directly. He says that the Son of Man will be revealed, right? He said a Son of Man will reveal the Son of Man. So he said a prophet will reveal the Jesus Christ in flesh, right, in this day. And so he, when he says that, give me a second here to put my thoughts together. So this, we're going to go back to here. Just fill a blank there, and we'll just continue on here. So Revelations chapter 10. So backtracking again so I can recatch the thoughts. Chapter 4 was John being caught up. He says, come up hither. The Spirit says, come up hither. He comes up and he begins to see all these things. Okay, here it is. I'm sorry. Here, I caught the thought again. So when he says that, he never says it directly that it's him. But he says, if you look, there was nobody in this age with the last name that ended in H-A-M. So then he says, Billy Graham was a messenger to this age. And he says his letters was G-R-A-H-A-M, but he said that's six letters, right? And then he says Abraham was A-B-R-A-H-A-M, seven letters. So he doesn't put Branham there. So now you got to read between the lines and knowing that it was him that he's talking about,
amen,
right?
Amen.
So you got to be able to read between the lines of what he's saying. So I'm not telling you who that angel that was revealing all the things that was happening in Revelations, but I think if you look at the scriptures, you can identify who that is.
Amen.
So now, so he goes into the seals, chapter 4, then he goes to the seals, and then Revelations chapter 10, we look and we know the scripture, there's Christ coming down, putting his right foot on the earth and left foot on the sea, and then he has a book open, and we know that is the opening of the book that was closed, and that is this Bible, okay? And so God opened it up so that it was fully revealed, and then as it was opened, there were seven voices that thundered, right? And those thunder, he says, is a voice of God. And so there's seven. And so this is another area where the bride's got to catch the revelation of it. So I want you to hold that, because when we go into this, these quotes in the message, then they're going to tie to the scripture here of, and all through the points of what we come up to this point. So he says, I cried with a loud voice in verse 3, when a lion roared, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write and heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things. So these things, these mysteries were all sealed up, right? But you see, when the church ages begin to play out, remember, John did not know, neither did the disciples know what was going to happen in the church ages. All they saw was a scripture, this Ephesus church age, all these other things. But then they began to play out. And so Luther, I don't know if he knew that he was the Sardisian church age. I don't church age messenger. I don't know if Irenaeus knew he was a second church age messenger. But these things played out. But in the end time, these things will be revealed of what has happened all along, right? So now, seven thunders uttered their voices, and he says, seal up those things. So they were not to be known. And then he says, but in the days, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. And so in the days of the seventh angel, everything that happened before will be revealed, including the seven thunders.
Amen.
Because it's all to be opened up. So those things were sealed, but now they're to be released. Why? Because it's going to show the image of Christ,
amen,
right? So now, and we know in verses 8 through 12 that we, as the bride, are to take that open book, those seven thunders that are uttered, and eat that. And it's become a part of us, and as it becomes a part of us, then we begin to have the same anointing and speak the same thing. Do we understand? So it's Christ in all of it. It's just like we said, showed here. It was Christ in the beginning, and it goes through Christ in the end, just different forms all throughout. Now here, this proving his word, 1964, in the message he says, in that day the Son of Man will be revealed, what? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. So Christ is going to come down in human flesh. And he's going to unite Christ and the bride together, right? Isn't that what Eliezer did?
Amen.
So in type. Now he says, the church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. Do you see what I mean? See, it's a Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us, and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. So that Son of Man ministry was to come and show Jesus Christ in such a real way that it'll make him so real to us that it will unite us together with Christ. And then we'll go.
Amen.
Do you all know what I'm talking about here? So there was a message and a messenger that came to unite the bride and Christ together Why were there so many messages? Why was there so many things that we could know so much about the messenger's life? From A to Z, every thought that was in his mind and everything that was going on and different cases and things, because he wanted to show himself openly to the bride so that she and him can become one. The scriptures were cryptic before, but when it was made known in Brother Branham's day, then all these scriptures came to life, and we could see that this same Jesus that I read about can be the same God that can heal me personally. It's the same God that can help me overcome personally. It's not just something that I read about, but something that is happening right now and today. And if we can just grasp it, then we in Christ will become one and every demon will be under our feet. And I really want us to get that. And I know that's a saying and we believe it and everything, but it's got to become a reality. And we're going to see that, I believe, as we move on here. Okay? So that's all I am able to go through right now. And let's all stand. And so I know for some of us, it's like, this is very high level, or this is very doctrine-oriented and everything. I just ask that you just bear with me during this, because there's a structure, there's a background, there's principles that have to be laid out, and then we're going to get to the practical application of this. And so if you just be patient, remember that's a virtue. Patience is a virtue, right? So I just, you know, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word, O Lord. And Lord, we know that you have given us a word that has been opened. You've opened the book, O Father. And not for us to just admire it and just to say it's a good book, but us to get into it and become one with it, O Father. And so you said in the scriptures and the message that we would become one with it, O Father. And I believe you've given instructions to be able to do that through a message in this day, O Father. And so we ask that you would just help us as we move on, O Lord. Help us to not be distracted, O Father. Help us to be attentive. Help our ears to be open, O Father, and to receive everything that you have promised and for us, O Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would bless the song service and the preaching of the word, O Lord. And may everything just be a unity, everything dovetailed together, O Lord, so that you be glorified in all of it. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God be with you. Praise the Lord.